The IMG Roadmap is the only podcast dedicated to coaching international medical graduates and success blueprints for this unique pathway. I am Dr. Nina Loom, your host, a previous IMG turned hospital medicine physician, healthcare administrator, speaker, and coach. I empower, encourage, and equip you with actionable steps that you can take towards the residency position of your dreams. Hello, hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the IMG Roadmap podcast. Today, I would like to just shed light on matching and tips that you can use in order to create your rank list. Did you guys know, though, that in 2019, there are certain specialties that matched more IMGs than others? And so I have some data here looking at the match report for 2019. And it clearly states for U.S. IMGs, these five specialties match the most U.S. IMGs. Number one was internal medicine, followed by family medicine, followed by pediatrics, psych, and then emergency medicine. And that is for U.S. persons that went to foreign medical schools. Now, for non-U.S. IMGs, meaning visa applicants, the top five specialties that they matched into in 2019 was as follows. Internal medicine, family medicine, peds, pathology, and neurology. Guys, so the reason I share this is so that you are aware that there is a chance out there for you. And even if I did not call the specialty that you are interested in, there are people that continue to match into those that just weren't as high as for these five specialties. I find it pretty interesting, though, that, you know, pathology and neurology matched more non-US IMGs compared to U.S. IMGs. That's pretty interesting. So whoever is applying out there to pathology and neurology this year, I think that this is good news for you. This is the statistics are working in your favor here. All right. So let me tell you my match story, because today's episode, I will focus on five tips for creating your rank order list. Okay. But let me tell you my own match story. So in 2011, I only got two interview invitations. Like I said, two lonely, sad interview invitations. Guys, I was freaking out. I thought there was just no way I would match with only two interviews. Well, one of them was at a program in Michigan, and the other one was at a program in Kentucky. So the Michigan program, I just remember my interview. It was just so cold. The residents were friendly, but it was just in a dry, generic manner. The faculty barely interacted with me on that day. Like, I don't even remember talking to the program director. Like, I do not recall any such conversations. My perception was that they just didn't even recognize me there. I felt like I was not even there. You know when you go to an interview and there's no acknowledgement of your presence, and they interviewed about seven of us on the same day. So it was just a lot of competition going on. And the residents tried to be nice, but there was no rapport. Okay, let's just put it that way. Now, my second interview was in Kentucky, and I remember so clearly. Everyone was very friendly. The residents were welcoming. The chief resident in particular seemed genuinely happy and interested in me as an individual. That stood out to me. I remember him asking me poignant questions. He made me feel at ease during an interview. And the program coordinator, like, everybody was just so kind. The interaction with the program director was particularly remarkable. Like, our conversation was deep. We talked about women in medicine. We talked about women in family medicine and obstetrics particularly. I actually remember our interview and the points that we talked about. I remember congratulating her on some accolades that she had received from the American Association of Family Physicians, and particularly in the world of family medicine OB. She had done training in both specialties. And I remember asking her questions and her responses kind of, you know, she bounced back those questions to me. It felt like a true conversation. So, you know, when I left that interview, I felt like, honestly, based on my interaction, this is where I want to be. I want to be in a place where people want me, for one. And then second, a place where I know that I can communicate with my supervisors and my faculty, and that they're genuinely interested in training me and that I want to train there. Now, this is before even the academic strength of the program. It was a two-in-one program, meaning that We spent half of our time at University Center, and then the other majority of our clinic was in the community center. So this is the rural training track of the University of Kentucky Family Medicine. So, you know, I really enjoy not only the academic portion, because I had learned about what they had to offer on the internet before going, but then getting there and meeting people, and there was that likability factor. Likability factor is such a big thing, and it has to be a two-way street for you to like the program and for the program to like you. So I felt like we clicked on the likability factor, and this is something that I teach extensively when I do my online training e-course for IMGs, which is once a year program where I teach IMGs things that I've learned the hard way as to how to stand out and how to make yourself more attractive to programs so you can get invited for interview. So you can find more about that on imgroadmap.com. But yeah, really, I felt like at this program, there was the likability factor there. So, well, you know how that goes. I left the interview day. I compared that to my feelings when I left the Michigan program, and I could tell something was different here. Well, post-interview season came along. I sent out thank you notes to the programs. And honestly, as expected, all I heard from Michigan was like crickets. I mean, nobody responded. Nobody said, hey, thanks for coming. I mean, I think they didn't even remember who this person was, honestly, is what I think happened. So I sent the same email to Kentucky. And guess what? They did respond. Everybody responded. The program coordinator, the chief resident. I don't remember the program director responding, but I felt like, okay, you know, I got feedback, and maybe the feelings are mutual, right? It's like, this is the worst part of interviewing, is you just don't know if they're into you. It's almost like a dating relationship, right? Like, you're not sure if they really like you or not. But anyhow, you know, compared to what I heard from Michigan, I felt like Kentucky, you know, was somewhat interested in me and allowing me make their rank list. So, well, you know how that goes. Then it's, you know, silence for a few weeks and nothing else. Towards this period in February, I sent out another email like, you know, I've created my rank list, which, again, guys, this was two programs on the rank list. Okay, so it wasn't that, you know, anyhow, you know what I'm saying. So there were just two programs on the rank list, and I sent that out to, I put that on the NRMP's website, certify my list. Remember to always certify your list. And I sent out an email to both programs. Again, I told them they're on the top of my rank list, which is the truth because my rank list was really short. So the first program was Kentucky and the second program was Michigan. But anyhow, I just wanted to shed light on this story because honestly, you can have two interviews and still match. Okay. You're listening to somebody that had those chances and those odds. Yes, the longer your rank list, the higher chance of matching, but the short rank list does not mean that you will not match. So I really want to just point that out and give you something to hold on to reduce your anxiety as you wait and you hope for match day. But now, on to the meat of this episode. 5 tips for creating your rank list. So just a few things I want to point out. The deadline for 2020 to be registered and done and ready for the National Residency Match Program, the NRMP, is February 26th. So you want to make sure you have your rank list done, certified by that date. Okay. But here are my 5 tips for creating your match rank list. The first thing, I'm using a lot of evidence from the NRMP themselves because, you know, the best way to know about anything is to talk to the owner of it. So the NRMP really has on their website tons of resources about how the match algorithm works. If you have not listened to this, I caution you to head over there right now, well, right after this episode, and watch how the match algorithm works. Because if you don't understand how the algorithm works, you could very well misunderstand the whole process and miss out on your chances of matching. So, according to the NRMP, they recommend that you should rank according to the preference, according to your true preference, and not where you think you will match. Okay, this is their number one point, and that's what they say every student should you know, should use to create a rank list. Now, my only caveat with this statement is if I have a longer list, I will definitely rank according to my preference. And if I have a shorter list, I will probably focus on where I feel like I would match. So in my case, between Michigan and the other program, well, it was a very short list. And if you look at how the algorithm works, I only had two options, so really there weren't a whole lot to pick from. I wasn't really putting some programs further down on the list to make myself least likely to match into them. But if you have a longer list, I recommend that you follow this NRMP advice. If you have a shorter list, I don't know that it really matters as much. If I have a short list again this 2020, what I would do is I'll rank according to where I think I'll match, okay? So my next point, which again I pulled up from the NRMP, is to rank programs you want to train in because you like them. So whatever that likability factor again was for you, you don't want to forget about it. And this is why I recommend for people to take short notes after the interview and just write about the things that you like about the program, not only for your thank you letter, but also for yourself, so that you can sit back and evaluate now when you're creating this rank order list as to what you're going to rank on the top of your list. The third thing, which doesn't sound like rocket science, but it's so important, is do not rank places that you did not interview at. So there was actually a study from 2013 that looked at the ranking habits of unmatched international medical graduates. You can find this on PubMed. You just go on Google and type in ranking habits of unmatched international medical graduates 2013 article. I'll also include it in the show notes. And one of the things that they pointed out in that article was IMGs were ranking programs that they did not interview at, particularly because they did not understand exactly what the match algorithm, how it works and what it's like. And so that's why I recommend that you watch the YouTube videos on the NRMP's page. I'll include that in the show notes as well. And that you also read this article so you get some insight as to what not to do. Okay. And then the fourth point I want to point out is don't wait till the end. So don't wait till February 25th to create your rank order list. I want you to start playing with it now, putting things, moving them back and forth, and really being certain about what you want to do. But make sure whatever you do that it's certified before that date, and that you seal it and you close it and you submit it. Because I have actually interviewed an IMG. He's from Peru. I wouldn't call his name. He's on my IMG roadmap series on drninaloom.com on the blog section of my website. And he said he was in Peru when the rank, during this February period when he applied. And he had no idea he had to register for NRMP. And he did not understand that the NRMP was separate from ERAS. So he had not registered for it. For one. And then second, of course, he didn't have a list created and hadn't certified it or submitted it. And he ended up doing it at the deadline. And he ended up matching at a program that he actually had done some U.S. clinical educational activity at. So guys, point to take home here is you should remember the NRMP is separate from ERAS. You should have a separate account. You should be working on your list at this point in time and make sure it's certified and submitted before the deadline. Now, the fifth point I have is, again, from the NRMP's website. It says, do not make last minute changes to your list. So they recommend against making last minute changes. So don't wait until the clock strikes midnight on the night before your deadline to go make changes. They're worried. I think this is me speaking. I think the concern is you may think that you've made a change which doesn't reflect in the system, because again, this is all a computer generated algorithm. And so if you make a change so quickly right at the end of it, you may miss out on that opportunity to actually have those changes reflected on your final list. So this is the best time to work on it. Now is the best time to work on it. Don't wait until the last minute. Now, those are my five tips for creating your rank order list, guys. And I'll just add this on there for IMG specifically. Please rank all the programs that you interviewed at, because I'm assuming you applied to them because you were interested in them. I'm hoping you didn't apply to places just because you wanted to see if you would get an interview. But you're better off putting those programs at the bottom of your list and keeping them out, because the competition has become really stiff right now. And I know that some of us are all about location and wanting to be in certain places over others, but really think about this. This is just a 3 to 5 year plan of your whole entire life. This is just a small portion. If you don't like a location, I think as an IMG, you can train just about anywhere and create the success that you want to see in your career. You just have to give yourself the patience to do that. So, you know, don't disregard a place because you don't want to go there. It's only going to be 3 years. I mean, what's 3 years in the grand scheme of a 50-year career? It's so little. So don't let little things like that hold you back from putting programs that you like, but you just don't like the location or one thing or the other, because you just don't know what your chance is going to be to get your top 3 or 4 programs on your list. Now, another point I'll give you before we round up this episode is that you can always communicate your interest to a program, but you cannot ask where you stand on their rank order list. And that, again, that's information from the NRMP. It's okay to communicate your interest, but the program cannot tell you where you are on their rank list, and you cannot necessarily ask them where you're at. But you can definitely tell them, hey, you're the top one I want to be in. You're my top choice. Whatever language you want to use, or you're the top of my rank list, you can use those to your advantage. Those were my 5 top tips for creating your rank order list. I hope this is helpful to you. And for those of you interested, or those of you applying in the future who want to be a part of learning more tips and tricks, please visit drninaloom.com. I have tons of information on there regarding how other IMGs have achieved the goal of matching into U.S. residency in various specialties. And I hope that that information is helpful to you. You can subscribe at drninaloom.com for weekly updates on the podcast and also on the blog. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope to see you next time.